darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, won't you reign in me again. Is that okay? Oh, okay. Oh, there went the bell. Okay, well, it's all right. We're a little early, but that's okay. Better early than late, right? People coming in are going to be like, the bell's already ringing. Maybe they stopped ringing it. Did they? It's all right. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. A beautiful morning again towards the end of September. Thanks for coming. Yes, we are a couple minutes ahead of 10:30 if you're wondering, but that's all right. It's good to see you all here. I have a few announcements to go over. As usual, first of all, out at the Power Show, which is yet today, our youth group, high school youth group, is having their food stand. If you want to go out there, there's Chislik, there is our hamburgers, and there are steak sandwiches. It's a ribeye steak. Delicious. Some kolaches and kuchen, maybe, if there's any left. Caramel rolls that are homemade, if there's any left. There was this morning, I'm sure. So that's out there. I want to say a special thanks to Johnny for painting the lines on the parking lot and refreshing those. So God bless you, Johnny, for doing that. And Lori made the display out here if you came in the front entrance. So thank you. And Carl and Linda for taking care of those beautiful flowers. The landscaping. Thank you all for doing those things. That's taken a lot more work this year than normal. Next Sunday, as you see, I just want to mention we do have communion next Sunday. We thought we'd still wait on passing the trays. If you've been in June and August, we did it this way where the congregations ushered forward and we had the tables up here. Take the bread, take the wine, and then return back to your seats. If there's some, though, that are really like, well, I don't want to walk up front or I'm not able to, then, you know, you can stay in the pew and one of the elders or deacons will bring the elements to you. We just will need to know that. We'll try to watch for that. So don't let that keep you away from coming is why I'm saying that. Two things we need some help with. Christmas Eve program, and you think, wow, you're already talking about that? Well, we're at the end of September, and that we got to get going, the planning of it, in October here. So we need two individuals that would be willing to direct that this year. How will it look? Hopefully similar. We'll just see as we get closer. But if there's anyone that thinks, well, maybe I'd be interested in that, then please let us know. As well, then, the first Saturday in December is always our soup kitchen, the big fundraiser for the women of the church. Most of that money goes to missions. So we need another set of ladies that would be willing to help coordinate that. And that we have to know pretty soon as well because of the planning that starts going into that. So there are a couple important events coming up that we need help with. Last thing I just want to mention before we pray is, I don't know if you got to watch any of the events at Washington, D.C. at all. I got to just watch little parts of it. The event, the prayer march that was held, sponsored by Franklin Graham, and the Billy Graham Ministries, that was actually on TBN, So they might re-show that, I'm not sure, but just incredible. I know they estimated over 50,000 people gathered there on the National Mall, as we call it. And then the event that Jonathan Kahn's ministry hosted and sponsored called The Return, that you had to watch on the internet. I only got little blips of that, but ones I've talked to, I know it was all very powerful. And what a blessing to have that in our nation. And what a difference between the rioting and the destruction and the protests and the anarchy. I mean, what a difference. I hope the nation can see that and the power that is in prayer. And I believe, wow, we will see results. It just so encouraged my heart. What a glorious day it was. So we continue to pray. You might watch for some of that on the internet. I would imagine they'd be showing parts of that, or you could Google it or something, those of you that know how to do that. So the rest of the announcements, I will let you read later. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, how we do love you. Our hearts are just filled with praise and glory and adoration before your throne and to your name, Lord God Almighty. And we thank you for what happened yesterday in our nation's capital. Tens of thousands of believers gathering there, calling upon your name, and I'm sure multiplied thousands more in their homes around the nation, praying, interceding, asking you for an outpouring, revival, repentance throughout this nation. And I know, Lord, you are working mightily, and we thank you for it. So, Father, here we are in the middle of the nation, a rural community. But, Lord, we are your children, and we love you with all of our hearts and with everything within us. And we thank you for what you are doing in our midst, moving by your Spirit, changing us from glory to glory and drawing us unto yourself. And so we ask that again today as we exalt and praise your name, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, our opening hymn is number 17 in the hymnal. The words will be on the screen, but let's stand together as we sing this. Thank you. Thank you. That's some beautiful singing there. Why don't you greet one another with an air high five or however you want to do it before you're seated, an elbow bump or whatever. And we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. I don't have too much written down, but I noticed in my notes, Cindy, do you have something to say about your mom, maybe? 90th birthday is Tuesday. Yes, Matha writes, 90th birthday is this Tuesday. Matha's in our care center, yep. They get to listen to our service at some point in the week. Because Ann works there, usually it's Tuesdays, then she can take the video of our service and they get to watch it, which is wonderful and they love very much. So, a happy birthday to her. Any update on Myron at all? Yeah.
Because he has two broken vertebrae in his neck, C2 and 6. So they're hoping that will get things to fuse back the way that they need to. They're trying to avoid going in and doing surgery just because then you're dealing with all the nerves and those things.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Okay.
And then a couple of weeks over there.
Sure.
So probably 2 or plus 3 weeks before he can go home, and then obviously still continue rehab and therapy.
Right.
Pain management, I think.
Right.
So we do also ask that as we pray for him, of course, obviously there was another gentleman involved in the incident, and while he walked away with minimal injury, this young man has a long history of drug and jail time and that sort of thing. So I think praying for him that he could maybe, you know, get to the light and get directed on the right path.
Right. Amen. Okay, thank you. Not sure if most of you probably heard Ashley, this was Myron Holsworth, which would be Kevin's uncle. I'm sure a lot of you know him. He was in a very, very bad accident on Monday morning. Yeah, early. And broken tibia, they fixed C2 and C6 vertebrae. This has a halo, one where they screw into your skull on that halo. Probably a long recovery, but praise the Lord that he's still with us. And prayers for the other young man who was at fault in the accident, who has quite a history of trouble. I guess we'll just say it that way. Okay, thank you. All right. Anything else over on this side here? Okay, over here. All right. Okay. Well, let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Father, we're so always honored and thankful for the privilege that we have of coming before your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ is how we come, not in our own selves or in our own strength or wisdom, but only through the blood of Jesus we come. We thank you, Lord, as we pray for Myron Holsworth and this very what could have been a tragic accident. Thank you, Lord, that you spared his life. And now as he goes through this recovery time, lengthy it sounds, but we thank you for the plan and how they are working, for the improvements that are happening, and even as he moves to the rehab hospital and then therapy beyond that, be with him, his wife, the family, Lord. And for the other driver that caused the accident, Lord, you know him by name and everything about him. We lift him up to you and ask for a work, a mighty work of your spirit in this young man's life, of deliverance, of salvation, Lord. that as you reach out to him, we pray that he would find you, that he would hear your voice. And thank you, Lord, for that. We want to pray, Father, for these others, Terry Seiler, ongoing, I imagine, starting back to chemo treatments this week, and David Wallach, as they await till December for more tests. Be with them during this waiting time, for Jimmy Whale, for Les Melhoff, Lord, Terry Auk, who also has a brain tumor, and all these other listed, Lord. We pray for, we have several of our older ones, Lord, who are in their homes and just not able to be with us because of compromised health conditions. We pray over them. I know they watch the service every week. It's not the same as being here, but we lift them up and ask that you bless them in their homes. Thank you, Father, for Maitha Wright as she celebrates her 90th birthday on Tuesday. And we just rejoice with her and the family. Father, again, I thank you for yesterday, the prayers lifted up for our nation. We thank you for repentance and revival across this land. We pray, Lord, that people would see the difference between the children of God and the prayer march and the powers of darkness that are at work, obviously, through these riots and destruction and the anarchy that takes place. Lord, it is a difference between light and darkness, and we know that, and let the nation see it, I pray, Father. Thank you for the harvest as it's going full speed. We pray for protection through it all and wisdom. Thank you for conditions that they're not plowing through the mud and getting stuck, but yet on the other hand, we just pray for safety in the dryness that fires would not start. Lord, for our first responders, our policemen, our EMTs, our firefighters, our healthcare workers that serve on the front lines day in and day out, keep them safe. Bless them with your strength. Certainly for our troops serving at home and abroad, as always, we ask you to give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways. Thank you for these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go to the offering part, we have some new members this morning that we're going to receive. So if Diane and Lauren, Jennifer, Parker, Spencer, want to come, please? We will do that now. An exciting day with the congregation. You can just stand here on the floor. Diane, you can come right by me, okay? I won't bite. So this is always an exciting time in the life of our church. And we know we're missing a lot of our members because they're all working up at Power Show. But, so this is Diane Calden. She was Diane Schaefer. For those of you who don't know her, her dad would have been Marvin, one of William's 10, as they are called, right? So Diane would actually be first cousin to Lauren Schultz over here on this end. But Diane was, well, baptized probably in Sarum Church, I suppose, confirmed here. In the old church, the old Salem church, yeah. I looked, I think it was Reverend Odenbach's first class, 1964. If you got your centennial book, there she is as an eighth grader. And of course, then we have Jennifer and Lauren Schultz. Oh my. Who were both baptized here, and Lauren would have been confirmed here. And so, oh, let me say first, Diane. So Diane's retired, has moved back to Menno. She lived a lot of her adult life in Minneapolis. Jennifer works for the Mitchell Technical College, and she teaches speech therapy assistant classes online because she is a speech therapist. And Lauren, of course, farms out here. And Parker, then, is the first son, and he lives in Sioux Falls now and works at the Building Finance Incorporated as a loan underwriter. And Spencer just graduated from Mitchell College here this spring, and he's farming with his dad. So exciting for all of us. I have four questions that I'm going to ask you that I'll ask you to answer. I do, and as I've met with you, we've talked through things anyway, but the first question is, do you acknowledge and profess that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. Do you promise to be Christ's disciples, to follow his word and his will for your lives, and to resist evil and oppression in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating his presence and furthering his mission in all the world? If so, answer, we do. And fourth, do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and the world? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for these individuals standing here before us. Lord, you see our lives on this earth from beginning to end and even beyond. And we just live them out day by day. But thank you, Lord, for bringing these individuals to this congregation. In a sense, we could say back to this congregation, as this was part of their lives at one point. And we receive them with joy and thanksgiving, with happiness in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the talents and gifts you have put within them. As they do, as we read, enlist in the work and mission and ministry of this local church. But also we pray, Lord, that we can be a blessing to them as they continue to grow, as we grow together in our faith in you, Jesus, and in our walk with you and our walk with your word. So thank you for blessing them in their lives, their jobs, Diane and her retirement. Watch over them, we pray, and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a responsive reading now. Here, the words should be up on the screen. Let us, the members of Salem Reformed Church, express our welcome to Lauren, Jennifer, Parker, Spencer Schultz, and Diane Calden, and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. If you'd respond, please. We welcome you. Amen. And in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Salem Reformed Church, we do extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Let's give them a hand, please. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome, Parker, Spencer, Lauren. God bless you. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. This is speaking back to the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And it says this: they all ate the same spiritual food. That was the manna, right? The manna that was a type of Christ. Looking forward. And they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Isn't that neat? That in his pre-incarnate form, he accompanied them through those years in the wilderness. They all drank from that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. And so he is our life, and he is our living bread, and our living water as well. We'll stand and sing the doxology, please, now. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, Father, we do praise You. We have so much to praise You for. Our life, our breath, our health, where we live on this part of Your earth, we are blessed. And so we give You, Lord, our offerings. We bring them to You with great joy, not grudgingly, nor out of necessity, but with joyful hearts. So thank You, Lord, for the work that You do in us, for the work You do by Your Spirit in this local church, for the work You do through this community and the region around us. We love You and we worship You in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that You have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children want to come for the Kingdom Kids time. Okay, can you take that or not? Huh? Okay. Oh, here they go. Okay. Is that where you are?
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Good. It's good to see everybody here. Go ahead, you can sit right there. All righty. Well, you know, today we're going to talk about buildings and foundations. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was talking to the people about heaven in chapter 7. And then He was talking about their people's fruit in their lives, like how they show love and kindness and all of these things. And then He starts to talk about a foundation, that we should build a foundation, a strong foundation. So this is what we're going to show today. We're going to show two houses, and let's see, who are my oldest ones here? Let's see, who's in fifth grade, fourth grade? Fifth, come on up, you can come up, come on up. You two come up. Next time I'll get you, okay? Okay, that's all right. So these are our houses. These are my houses, so you can hold that one right there. And you see there's windows, doors, and that's the little doggy door right there. And then, can you stand behind me here so that these guys can see? And then here's another house, same thing, a house. And they're both the same, right? They're both the same. So here, let me read in this scripture. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, these were the words that Jesus was teaching them about, and puts them into practice, that means do them, don't just listen to them, and don't just read God's word, but do it, he's like a wise man that built his house on the rock. Now, this is not actually a rock, but it's very hard, and it's a pretty hard foundation, right? So this builder built his house on the rock. And then this person over here, as we read further down, builds his house on the what? On the sand. So we're just going to put it right there on the sand, right? Whoops. Oh, darn, we got a little sand around. So these are two people. They have built houses, but one built it on the rock and one built it on the sand. So then it tells us, the rains came down. So the rains came to both of them, okay? The storms came. Troubles in life came to both of them, right? Because just because we're a Christian, just because we love God, does not mean we aren't going to have trouble, right? You guys know that, right? So the storms came down. So you make some noises like storms. Here come storms, here come storms, here come storms. Pretty good, eh? Did that one stand? You're going to tell me the difference here. All right, I'm just going to go right over here. I should have hooked this thing. And this one, storms, come on, let me hear some storms. Storms, 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 storms. Storms, 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 storms come. The same thing, and oh my gosh, just pulled it up here. Oops, just kind of, oh, what's happening to that house? Can you see it? Stand up if you can see it. It's breaking. It's breaking, this house. That one's on the rock. Is that one breaking? No, that one's, this is the house that says, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to go to church, but then I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm not just going to show up here. I'm going to do it in my life at school. But this one, his house, the same storms came, the same troubles. And what happened to this one? And it is breaking up. It is not going to hold at all. All right. You can just lay that one in there. So, that's okay. You can put yours down now. So, what does that teach us? Here, let me tell you what it said again here. So, the one who builds his house on the rock, the rains came down, the storms came up, the winds blew, but this house did not what? It did not fall. Anyone who hears these words of mine, like I said, comes to church, reads the Bible, but doesn't do it, doesn't love God, doesn't love others, doesn't obey, doesn't trust, is like this one. That's pretty gross. The rains came, the trouble came, the winds blew, beat against this house, and it fell with a crash. So boys and girls, what house are we going to be? We're going to be on the rock. We're not going to just listen to God's word and read it. We're going to do it. Let me hear you say, I'm going to do God's word. I'm going to do God's word. When I'm at school, say, I'm going to do God's word. I'm going to do God's word. I'm going to love God. Say that. And I'm going to love others. All right? Okay, you remember this illustration. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much that you give us so many different neat parables and pictures in the Bible that you told us that we should build our foundation on you. We should be praying and reading and not only worshiping you, but we should be obeying our parents and our teachers and loving others and being kind all through the week. That is the house built on the rock. Because when the storms come, when all the sickness, when the COVID, when whatever comes against our ways, the people in our lives might pass away, they may lose their jobs, whatever happens, we will stand on God, knowing that he will get us through. He'll be with us. Help these boys and girls to remember that, to be a light to wherever they go. In Jesus' name we pray.
Okay, thank you, Ann. We're going to sing, maybe Johnny, would you help her with that table, please? Thanks. We're going to sing number 406, Wonderful Words of Life, 406. Words of life and beauty, teach So they are. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we do thank you for your words of life, the very living word of God. Your word is our very life. It's not just some trifle or some little thing, but it is anointed and full of power. It is the very living word of God. And so, as we look into it again today, and whenever it is we look into your word during our weekdays, we ask that you'd speak mightily to us from the Spirit of God by your word. And I pray that today, Lord, that my words would not just be enticing words of men's wisdom, but may they be by the demonstration and power of the Spirit of the living God. And I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. This is also found in Matthew chapter 7, which maybe is where Anne is reading it from. The wise and foolish builders, we know it well. Jesus speaking, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground or the sand without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." And so it was. Starting today and for, I don't know, we'll see the next 3-4 Sundays, we're going to be on this theme in your bulletin. So 8th graders, you should be taking your notes, right? Just as a reminder. And others too, okay? Stand firm. Stand firm is going to be the theme. So, you know, I'm not one, you know that. I've never have used what is called a lectionary. Some churches do, some ministers do, where the text is mailed to you. I'm sure you get it more than a week at a time, but it's given out all the text you're supposed to use through the year. So that's just not me. I just can't do that. So what does that mean? That means I am always praying, seeking God, and looking down the road of what is coming. Lord, what do you want me to share? And so, of course, we had Sunday school kickoff, we had baptism, and which are sort of separate things. And boy, I was praying this. I've been praying more than this week, but as I think Wednesday came, and I'm like, Lord, it'd sure be nice to know here where we're going. And I was praying in between doing other things, and Wednesday afternoon, I was really like, Lord, we are at Wednesday afternoon here. And all of a sudden, I'm not talking about an out loud voice in my heart. These were the words, stand firm. Now, yeah, we are to stand firm. But when he said that to me, I knew instantly, that's it. Okay, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Well, then all these verses of scripture start coming to my mind, and I start looking up, you know, how many times in the New Testament are we told a phrase like this, to stand firm? It is a lot. A lot of times. And so that's what we're going to look at in the battles of life, the enemy of our souls, Satan himself. 1 Peter 5 says that we are to be self-controlled and alert because our enemy prowls around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know those verses. Then what does it say? It says, resist him. Guess what the next two words are? Standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Yes, yeah, standing firm. There it is. So that's what Satan does. He tries to find us in our moments and times of weakness, and bam, you know, he tries to discourage and attack and do in whatever way he can. And we got to stand. We can't stand in our own strength. We stand in God's power, which we will see. So first, today, well, who or what is our foundation? That's what we got to get settled, right? Number one, who or what is our foundation? Number one, God's word is our foundation. God's word is our foundation. Nothing rocket science about this at all, is there? But these are words and verses we got to have settled in our hearts. So look, let me just read these three. First of all, they're in your outline, parts of them. Psalm 119, verse 89, 90. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It, what do you think? Stands firm. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. And it does, doesn't it? How about Psalm 93:5? Your statutes, his statutes, that's his word. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. So Isaiah 40, verse 8, the next one. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Stands forever. So there's just three verses right off the bat about God's word. It never fails. It does not change. We cannot add to it. It is settled forever in heaven. And that is the solid foundation that we stand upon. And that's why we have to know the word of God. We've been through, these last very wet years, and actually 2019, I'm thinking I'm right, was the wettest year on record. And I know from so many of you, the farmers especially, the challenges it presented. From getting the harvest in, what there was last year, those with livestock, wow, incredible. Trying to deal with that. Some of you even trying to get into the feedlot to drop in the round bales and all that that presented. And I've so many of you have said to me this year, oh, how nice it is not to be slopping around in the mud every day with the cattle, with the sheep, with the whatever it is, right? Trying to calve in that. And all the, if we would have an hour of testimony time, that wouldn't even be enough for you to tell the stories of saving some of the calves that were up to their neck in mud and then what you all had to do as a result of that. And why? Because there's no foundation, right? It's just slop, slop, slop. Well, you say, well, we pour more cement, right? Well, yeah, if you're able, you do, but that costs money, doesn't it? Just pour more cement. Well, it's not just that easy, as we all know. Boy, I know many, you know, it makes a person weary. I can't imagine. Driving around and seeing some of the yards and seeing the cattle up to their belly deep in the mud. And how's that for them to walk in that and the energy it takes? And you know, on it goes. It presented its own problems here at church. It was Palm Sunday of 2019. Pretty sure that's when it was. And we had those soft spots in the parking lot out here on the south. A mess. Come to the Easter cantata that night, one older couple. Whoa, sinks the Cadillac in that. Thank you, Ben Crick, for coming to the rescue. Right? Was you, wasn't it? Okay, give me a nod or something. It's just looking at me. Yes, it was. God bless you. In good clothes. You don't get a car out of the mud. It wasn't his car. He was helping somebody, okay? Don't get out of that with clean clothes, I don't imagine. Even the cement here, right out front, all of it heaved so bad, right? Both things. We had to dig that, a part of that out, lay a bed, a more of a foundation in there, and put better dirt in the parking lot. We had to rip out all this cement here last year, put a better foundation under that, pour it again. Presents issues, doesn't it? Without a solid foundation, we get worn out, right? Naturally in life, it wears on a person. You know what? Spiritually, without a solid foundation, it wears on a person. God's word is our foundation. It is our anchor. So the text, those first couple verses, 46 there, Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? We all, naturally speaking, whether it's if you have a hired man or you have employees under you and you tell them what to do, you want them to do it, don't you? If it's parents with your children, you give the instructions, you want them to do it. And God is saying to us with his word, I want you to do it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do what I say. I'll show you, Jesus says, what the person is like who comes to me, hears my word. That's what we're all doing right now. We're sitting here, we're hearing it, aren't we? And puts them into practice. Now that's where the challenge comes in, doesn't it? When we leave this place, or sometimes before we even leave this place, he or she is like a person building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. Now we know that takes time, doesn't it? That type of foundation takes time, energy, effort, but boy, is it worth it. Absolutely, it is worth it. And so in our lives, now when we get to adults, doesn't mean we just stop studying the scriptures. Doesn't even mean we stop memorizing the scriptures. It's just as the years go on, it does get a little more difficult to memorize the scriptures. That's why when we're kids, Sunday school, so important. Confirmation, so important. The in those sixth, seventh grade, eighth grade years, there is a lot of memorization. And parents, I'm telling you, it's got to happen. Got to happen. Psalms 119 says, your word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When is that hiding of God's word happening? I tell you, when is it easiest? Children and in those growing up years. Those things that we memorize in that age of our life never leave us. But we've come, it seems, we've come in society a lot to where they've come away from the memorization of things. Even naturally, I'm speaking. And so, as always, that tends to trickle over into the church. And of course, it's always been, I'm sure it's not just now. Sometimes the kids, you know, they sort of grump and grumble about the memorizing, right? But parents, grandparents, whoever's involved, got to be doing it. You have to be doing it. It is life to them. I cannot tell you the number of times, even in our years here at Menno, where older ones from the congregation, maybe they're in the care center, whatever, maybe a form of dementia or Alzheimer's sets in and eventually comes to the point where, as family, they don't even know who you are. That's difficult. We all know it. Difficult. But you know what? In almost every one of those situations, if they, as a child and in their adult years, have kept with the Word of God, I can go in there as I visit with them and I say, and they might not even know fully who I am, but I can say, you know what? Before I pray, let's say the 23rd Psalm together, okay? Okay. And they can say that as perfect as the day they learned it. Perfect. Because that's in there. God's word is in there. It's amazing to see. So that's the effort of building our lives on the foundation of God's word. That's how we are able then to stand firm. God's word is our anchor. In talking about that as well, I have, really, it is a privilege and an honor. Not always easy, but it is a privilege and honor to do the funeral services of how many I should have looked, I don't know, over the last 16 years from this congregation. Dear people, saints of God, through all kinds of situations, some young, many who've lived out their years. So it makes me think, Ralph Hagee, a year older than me in school, played trombone with him in band, sat right beside him every day. Got to know him as we moved back again in his adult years. You know, then he was afflicted with cancer, started in his jaw and in there, and it was a terrible time. He went home to heaven at age of 52. But I had to go back to my notes from that day of his homegoing, because he had written me a letter about that day, and it just blessed me. This is, and I read this at his service, but I want to read just a part of it. Listen to what he says. Over my lifetime, ever since that very day is when he received Christ as Lord and Savior, he, Jesus, has proved over and over again to be my spiritual anchor in a sea of life that was punctuated with pain, sadness, and many other difficult storms. Boy, there were some tough ones. But my life is a testimony that the anchor holds. The anchor holds, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? The anchor holds. So our foundation is God's word. Secondly, number two, what? Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Talking about the wetness of last year too. Just made me think as I see Lee sitting back there. It was just a year ago, September 10, when Doc Friesen went home to heaven. It was September 14 when we had his funeral service. It was so wet. That was in the midst of all that horrible. Oh, there's Donna too. Goodness, yes. All the horrible flooding. It was a 72-mile trip from Olivet to get to Menno. 72 miles because of all the roads that were flooded. Wow. Amazing. Jesus is the rock. Here, 1 Corinthians 10. I read it in the offering there. They all ate the same spiritual food, the manna that came from heaven, a type of Christ. And they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. He is the rock. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's that rock on whom we stand. Doesn't matter what the year is like naturally with the weather, he is that solid rock. He's not a slippery rock. He is the solid rock. That in when we lived with the Navajos, and south of Flagstaff, Arizona, is Sedona, Arizona. Beautiful, beautiful place, the red canyons and cliffs. But in that place, there is a place called Slide Rock State Park. And that water running through that creek, Oak Creek Canyon, is coming off the mountains, and it is ice cold, I'm telling you, year round. So in our younger years, much younger years, we would take our Navajo youth kids down there to that Slide Rock State Park. And the way, however, the water that ran over it and what those rocks were as slippery as ice. And in that area there was a natural carved out trough, I'll say it that way, that over the years the water just wore it. And you'd get up there and you'd get to that and you'd sit down and just woo, 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 all on rock, but it was that slippery. The parts you had to be careful of, though, is because there was water. You had to get in the water to walk over there, and that was slippery, too. Now, I never biffed it myself. I don't think my wife did either, actually, at that time. But, you know, we do that. I mean, just take your breath away, and down you'd go. But then we'd sit there drying off, and almost every time we went, you'd see somebody going over there just tootling along, and whoop, bam. That hurt on solid rock, slippery rock. No, Jesus is the solid rock. And I'm telling you, you're not gonna slip. But back to Luke 6:49. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on the ground, Luke says, Matthew says, on the sand, which is what Anne portrayed with the kids. Without a foundation. Oh, it's easier. We don't need a foundation. Just build the house. Let's get this thing done, right? Oh, I don't need to study the Word of God. I'm okay. You know, I'll go to church once a week and hear the sermon, Pastor Mike, but nah, I don't need to listen to the Word the rest of the week. I don't need to look in my Bible the rest of the week. That takes time. Yeah. Takes work. Yeah. I don't have time. I'm just going to build my house on the sand. Okay. Without a foundation, the moment that torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. New King James says the ruin of that house was very great. A torrent, we all know, I think, what that is, a mighty rushing stream of water, a raging flood. We all know what water can do. The damage it can do is incredible. But you know what? The house on the rock stood. It stood. Last year, back to that again, some of the flooding down in Nebraska and that. Boy, for a structure to withstand that kind of flooding is pretty amazing. Even bridges washed out. But God says, Jesus says, we can stand. Both houses seem just as secure, don't they? For a time, all looking good from the outside. But when that torrent, the raging floods come, that one is going to fall. Psalm 40, listen to this quick. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of what? The slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Yes, he did. On his word, on the authority of Jesus Christ, we stand. This third one, this is more just of what's coming, okay? We're not getting into that today, but I'll give you. So God's admonition to the church is, guess what? To stand firm. Yeah. He says it again. These are situations, A, B, C, D, that we'll be looking at in coming weeks. A, stand firm against false teaching. False teaching. B, against the devil. C, as words of encouragement. There's scriptures, just as words of encouragement to the church. Stand firm. D, as we wait the second coming. Await the second coming of Christ. He says that. James 5:8. Listen, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. So you want to know what? I'm not saying I got all the verses. I didn't actually dig out my big concordance, but I got a bunch of them. Paul the Apostle to the churches. You can see this phrase to the church at Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, all of them, somewhere in those books, he's saying, stand firm. James, the half-brother of Christ, writing, stand firm. Peter, to the believers then, stand firm. In the days we're living, stand firm. Wow, after yesterday, watching the parts of that I got to see, just blessed me, my heart, incredibly, to see And I know the body of Christ in America, there is a strong body of Christ. But you know what? We got to stand. We got to stand firm because the devil would love to take this nation down. Oh, would he ever love to do it? But you know what? We are going to stand, and we've got to, in prayer together. So let's pray. Father, thank you. You don't just tell us to stand firm. You give us your word to stand upon. And so much more, the power of your spirit. So as we walk through life and the storms rage and pound, sometimes, Lord, it's like we think, I don't know, God, I don't know if I can stand any more than what's already come. And you say to us, stand firm. And you've got us, and we stand upon you, the solid rock. Thank you, Lord. If there's someone here this morning even that's just like at that point, I don't know if I can stand anymore. I guess I would say God's word is to you, yes, you can. Not on your own, but in Christ, you can. And for that one that might be here, Lord, I ask that you just infuse them with an extra dose of your power and strength this day and in the days to come. Give them some light to the end of the tunnel and show them that you are in control. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so our closing hymn, I guess I couldn't think of anything more fitting than The Solid Rock. So let's stand as we sing that together. There is a transition on the piano between verses, 3 and 4, I guess, right? Sort of? Anyway, all right, here we go. Receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And we will sing God Bless America as a prayer for our nation. Thank you. be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music.